The first New York Sokol opened its doors in 1867, only 5 years after the Sokol Youth and Gymnastics Organization was founded in Prague as an important element in the Czech National Revival nationalist movement. New York Sokol's homely sports and social hall is on East 71st Street in Manhattan, but that wasn't the group's first location.
Originally, it started down East 5th Street in Lower Manhattan because the community, Czech community, when they first arrived here, they established themselves on the Lower East Side, of Manhattan.
Ed Chilander is president of New York Sokol's library and knows a lot about the branch's history.
However, the work was up here. Many of them were cigar cutters. Many of them came from the area of Cutnahora, where there was a tobacco industry, too. And so the cigar cutting industries was uptown in Yorkville. So they moved, they migrated here, and eventually it was a trip to go downtown for the gymnastics, etc. So at one point they realized they would have to build a new building. They wound up buying their land here. This piece of land cost them $200. A little bit more today. And they put up the building in 1 year, and they had a subscription, and all these working people were not very wealthy at all. They struggled, and if you read the How the Other Half Lives by Jacob Riis, there's a chapter in there about the bohemian community in New York, and you can see that mom, dad, and the kids all worked rolling cigars very hard on a piecework basis.
And there would have been, I guess, tens of thousands of Czechs in this area at that time.
There were 40,000 at the high point, yes, 40, 50,000.
At its high point, how many people were members of Sokol?
I would guesstimate that there were 1,000 members maximum. That's just a rough guess, though. I'd have to look into the archives.
Tell us, who were your most notable members of the Sokol New York?
Oh, okay. Well, our first member, actually, one of the early members, is Walkall. He was one of the first presidents, and he was an officer here, and he was very instrumental in setting up a national Sokol organization, that predecessor to the American Sokol organization. Another person that was of very keen interest is Joseph Nadelhans, because the Czech flag today is the flag that basically follows his design with one small change. In 1918, Masaryk was speaking at Carnegie Hall, and the Sokols and all the Sokols, not just the Czech ones, but those Croatian, Slovenian, all the ones from the different Habsburg Empire areas, came and marched from this area here over to Carnegie Hall, where Masaryk was going to speak. And in doing so, they were going to pass the Plaza Hotel, and then he was going to review the parade from the balcony there. They needed a new flag for the new country, because the Bohemian flag, the old Bohemian flag, red and white, was similar to the other flags of Russia and Poland. And now with Slovakia, they wanted to make a new flag. So they added a blue triangle for the blue skies of Slovakia, and Joseph Nadelhans, who worked here, was a member here at Sokol, he designed one with a triangle going one-third the length of the flag. And they hung it from the balcony at the Plaza Hotel, and the people marched by. I'll have to show you one of those photos later of that parade. And that's how that flag design started. Now, eventually it was officially adopted at half the length, is the blue triangle.
And one of your members was an Olympic champion.
Yes, Frank Kriz, a metal polisher at the time. He was sent to Antwerp and then later to Brussels, I believe, in 1920 and 1924 for the USA team. He won the gold medal in 1924 for the long horse vault. Second and third were members of the Czechoslovak team, but he was first for USA.
When I visited New York Sokol, there were dozens of little girls of various ethnic backgrounds happily exercising in the main hall, while a small women's group were limbering up. Among the latter were two of Sokol's leading members.
I'm Norma Zabka, or Norma Zabkova. I'm president of Starostra of Sokol, New York. And I'm Irene Mergel, or Irena Merglova, and I am first vice president at Sokol New York, and I teach the women's class.
And how long, Irene, have you been a member of Sokol?
Since I was 5.5 years old.
And yourself, Norma?
Four years old.
And how long does your family connection with the organization go, do you know?
Well, just in the, when we had an archivist here from Prague several years ago, I found that my grandfather was one of the early members of Sokol New York. So it goes back to my grandfather, and I could be a great-grandmother myself.
What about you, Irene?
Well, we lived two doors down from Sokol Hall, so it was a rite of passage at age 5.5 to become a member. My father was a member in Czechoslovakia, and I'm first generation, so it was an automatic thing for me to go to Sokol. There was no question about whether I wanted to or not.
What are the main activities of Sokol today here in New York?
Well, the core program, is the gymnastic program, but then we have what I would call the auxiliary programs, which are ballet, taekwondo. We have a TOTS program starting at the age of 10 months of age. We have a folk dance class. We have a volleyball class. And then the gymnastics. I said volleyball, yes. And a basketball on Sunday. And the core program, of course, is children, juniors, and seniors.
Of the kids who are here now, there's a group of kids, a group of girls exercising out here. How many of the kids here would be from a Czech background, you know, roughly?
I would say it's almost nil. When they register in class in September, on the application it asks whether or not there is anyone from Czechoslovak descent. And Norma went through the application just recently, and we discovered there are a few whose grandparents or great-grandparents were of Czechoslovak descent. So it was Norma's idea to get this group together so we can form some kind of a group that would help us to retain the Czech and Slovak heritage.
And do you think it's a bit of a pity that there aren't so many Czechs here anymore?
Well, it's because the neighborhood has changed. Originally, when this building was built, it was all Czechoslovak neighborhood. As a matter of fact, I couldn't speak English before I went to school, so it wasn't necessary in this neighborhood. And then as the UN came in and changed the whole east side, and buildings were torn down and high-rises were put up, the Czechoslovak community, like other communities, like the Hungarian and like the German community, moved out to the suburbs or moved to the outer boroughs of Manhattan. So very few are currently in the city.
Given that there aren't that many Czechs involved anymore, how do you see the future of Sokol?
Well, like I said, we do our best to keep up the heritage, and people who are not of Czech or Slovak descent have really been fascinated, I think, by what we do here, and we have absolutely no difficulty in attracting people, so our future is very bright. And it is American Sokol.
I think it depends upon us. It's our little aim right now with that Heritage Day where we're calling those people who have Czechoslovak background, whether it be themselves or their grandparents. So hopefully we can get them involved. I would say that we probably are more American than most units in the United States, really.
What do you think? You've both been members for many decades. What has Sokol given you over the years, Irene?
Well, first of all, it gave me a husband, I don't know how to describe this, but a fulfillment that is undescribable. It's a part of my life, a big part of my life.